tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings hearts find peace and gold.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome and marhaba to another episode of the series Dimensions of Islamic Life. Alhamdulillah, in today's episode we are going to discuss a very interesting topic, and it has to do with something that we all find ourselves in, that situation where we want to break away from this vicious cycle of wrongdoings. You know, some of us are fed up of, you know, being immersed in the evil practices one way or the other. And it is so hard to come out of it, to break out of it. It's like being in a prison and you want to break out of it. Allahu Akbar. Therefore, today's topic is breaking the vicious cycle of sins. Alhamdulillah, we have again in our studio today Maulana Sayyid Muhammad Madani Hafizahullah Subhanallah. Jazakallah Sayyidi for joining us. How everything went?
All was well, Alhamdulillah. Everything went well, Maasab. On your side?
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. It was all good.
MashaAllah.
So Sayyidi, this is the subject that we are discussing, and you know, we see it all around us. And there are those individuals that want to break out of this prison of being captured in the cycle of sins one after the other.
Right.
And we need to truly find a way to discover, you know, an antidote to this, right, to this hardship, to this problem that we have. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, the person who abstains from sins, inshallah, he will have more opportunity to do good.
Absolutely.
And mashallah, in this regard, there's a beautiful parable, Sayyidi. Once a man came to Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi ta'ala and said, I commit many sins. Please tell me a cure for sins. Therefore, telling him the first cure for sins, Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi ta'ala said, when you are firm, meaning when you have a firm intention to commit a sin, give up eating the sustenance of Allah.
Allah, Allah.
Listen to this, and amazed by, you know, what Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adham had said. The man said, what kind of advice are you giving me? How is it possible for me to not eat the sustenance of Allah?
Allah.
Only Allah is the provider of sustenance. How will I manage to eat anything if He doesn't provide? Sayyidina Ibrahim Adham rahmatullahi ta'ala then said, see, how bad is it to disobey the one whose sustenance you are eating? Allahu Akbar. Giving the second advice, he said, when you have made the intention of committing a sin, get out of Allah's land. Again, the man said, how is it possible? East, west, north, south, right, left, up, down, all directions. In whichever direction I go, I will find the land of Allah. It's impossible for me to get out of the land of Allah. It is impossible to get out of the kingdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adham said, see, how bad is it to disobey the one on whose land you are living? Then giving the third advice, Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah alayhi said, when you have made a firm intention to commit sin, then hide yourself at such a place where Allah Azza wa Jal may not see you, then commit the sin over there.
Allahu Akbar.
Then the man astonishingly said, how is that possible even? You know, Allah is aware of everything. It is impossible for anyone to hide himself away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is even aware of the state of our hearts. Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah alayhi replied, see, how bad is it for you to disobey Allah? Then giving the fourth advice, Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah alayhi said, when the angel of death, Sayyidina Israel alayhi salam, he comes to seize your soul, tell him to give you some grace period so that you may repent. The man said, I don't possess such authority to tell him what to do. Nobody will listen to me. And the time of death is already fixed, and I will not get even a second grace. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam said, If you know you are powerless, you cannot get grace to repent, then why don't you value the time you have right now and repent before the arrival of Sayyidina Israel alayhi salam, the Malakul Maut? Then giving this faith refreshing advice, Sayyidina Ibrahim ibn Adham said, after your death, when Munkar and Nakir enter your grave, then turn them out of your grave.
Allah,
if you have the power. The man replied, what are you saying? How can I turn them out? What strength do I have? Then he rahmatullahi said, if you cannot turn the angels out, why don't you prepare to answer their question? Then giving the sixth advice, Sayyidina Ibrahim ibn Adham said, if you are ordered to go to hell on the day of judgment, you must refuse to go. The man said, I'll be dragged and thrown to hell. Allah, who am I to refuse? Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. These were the beautiful advices that he imparted with him, just to open his eyes. Inshallah, we will continue with these beautiful advices. We have a beautiful kalam, Sayyidi, I believe.
Mashallah.
And we'll go listen to the kalam and we'll be back, inshallah, shortly. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Madina. Madina. Madina, phir ja rahe hain ahle mahabbat ke qafle, phir yaad aa raha hai Madina. پھر میری بے قراری کے دن آ گئے پھر گنبد خضرا کی فضاؤں میں بلا لو پھر گنبد خضرا کی فضاؤں میں بلا لو کی فضا میں بلا لو پھر گنبد خضرا کی فضا میں بلا لو مجھے بلا لو شہ مدینہ یہ ہجر کا غم ستا رہا ہے میں در پہ آؤں یہی تو ارمان دل میں طوفان مچا رہا ہے پھر گنبد خضرا کی فضا لگا لو سرکار بلا کر مجھے قدموں سے لگا لو قدموں سے لگا کر مجھے دیوانہ بنا لو قدموں سے لگا کر مجھے کالو
محبت کو میرے دل سے نکالو, پھر گنبد خضرا کی فضاؤں میں بلا لو, سرکار بلا کر مجھے سے لگا لو, یا شاہ مدینہ میری امداد کو آؤ, یا شاہ مدینہ میری امداد کو آؤ, آفات و بلیات کے سے نکالو, آفات و بلیات کے پنجوں سے نکالو, پھر گنبد خضرا کی فضاؤں میں بلا لو, سرکار بلا کر مجھے قدموں سے لگا لو, مدفن ہو عطا میٹھے مدینے کی گلی میں, یا نبی التجا ہے یہ میری موت مجھ کو مدینے میں آئے, جان قدموں میں نکلے نبی کے اور وہیں مجھ کو دفنایا جا, مدفن ہو عطا میٹھے مدینے کی گلی میں, للہ پڑوسی مجھے جنت میں بنا لو, للہ پڑوسی مجھے جنت میں بنا لو, للہ پڑوسی مجھے جنت میں بنا لو, پھر گنبد خضرا کی فضاؤں میں بلا لو, سرکار بلا کر مجھے سے لگا لو, فرقت میں تڑپتے ہیں جو مسکین بیچارے, فرقت میں تڑپتے ہیں جو مسکین بیچارے, اسباب عطا کر کے انہیں در پہ بلا لو, اسباب عطا کر کے انہیں در پہ بلا لو, پھر گنبد خضرا کی فضاؤں میں بلا لو, سرکار بلا کر مجھے قدموں سے لگا لو, محبوب خدا سر پہ اجل آ کے کھڑی گئے, محبوب خدا سر پہ اجل آ کے کھڑی گئے, شیطان سے عطار کا بچالو شیطان سے عطار کا ایمان بچالو پھر گنبد خضرا کی فضاؤں میں بلا لو سرکار بلا کر مجھے قدموں سے لگا لو سرکار بلا کر مجھے قدموں سے لگا لو
ہے سہنا دشوار یہ جدائی میری ہو درد شہا رسائی نہیں بھروسہ زندگی کا یہ دل میرا ڈوبا جا رہا
سرکار بلا کر مجھے قدموں سے لگا لو
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وعلی آلہ وصحبہ اجمعین وسلم. Welcome back to your viewers. Alhamdulillah, we are discussing the topic breaking the vicious cycle of sins, and alhamdulillah, in this regard we were narrating beautiful words of advice by Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. As we have mentioned the piece of advice, and I hope you must be waiting for more, alhamdulillah, because it didn't end there. And further on, Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi ta'ala then said, if your state is such that you cannot give up eating Allah's sustenance, you cannot get out of His land either, you cannot hide yourself from Him, you cannot get any grace to repent, you cannot turn munkar and nakir out of your grave, and you cannot save yourself from the punishment of hell, then you should give up sins so that you can protect yourself from all these troubles.
Allah.
But the six cures for sins in the form of advice given by Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh had such an inspiring effect on the man that he wept bitterly and repented sincerely of all of his sins and kept to his repentance till his death. Allah. This is the key. To repent.
Yes.
Sins happen. And if you haven't been accustomed to doing it, and as soon as you realize you have committed a wrong, that is the time to repent. And we shouldn't leave it for the last moment. Oh, there will come a time and we'll repent. That time may never come.
That is so important, Masa, because in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions that soon a time will come upon my ummah wherein they would, you know, love five things and they will forget five things.
Yes.
And one of those five things that they will love and five things that they will forget is that people, they would love sins and they would forget tawbah.
Allah.
They would forget repentance. So, you know, it is very important that when someone does commit a sin, then they turn towards repentance. Because it's like, you know, a person who's, for example, he's walking or he's running and he trips on a rock. And if he stays down, how is he going to move forward? The normal thing to do is that when you fall, you always get up and you continue going. Likewise, if a person fell into committing sins, then yes, it is important for them to get up and seek repentance. Not go, you know, more down and dive more deep into sins and to feel hopeless of oneself. Because this, you know, it makes a person to continue doing sins and to continually, you know, be blinded. And they would think there's no hope and, you know, I'm already doing this, I'm doing that. I mean, what's the point? This is what goes on in their mind.
Ideally, Sayyidi, nobody likes or enjoys doing the wrong.
Yes.
Unless there is something psychologically wrong with that person,
right?
You have to be sick in your head to enjoy doing something that is wrong, that is evil, right?
Right.
And it does happen. We may fall victim to Satan's whispers, you know, that he causes satanic whispers,
right.
Waswasa. And we sometimes we might get carried away. And when we do realize that we have gotten carried away, that is the time to break away from the cycle and repent truly in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
You know, it's always like when a person commits a sin, they must always, you know, one should always turn back to Allah.
Yes.
Should run to Allah, not be more distant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They should run and make tawbah, make repentance. And if they happen to commit sins again, then same. Continue seeking repentance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this is very important. How many, like nowadays, how many we see that, you know, people commit this, people commit that, gambling and drinking and whatever it may be. But where do we find, you know, people sincerely repenting after committing a sin? It's something that, you know, nowadays we see very rare that after committing a sin, someone turns towards repentance.
Mm.
Because what we see today is that people, some take it, take sins very lightly, you know, as if it's nothing. Whereas that same sins is destroying a person.
Yes.
It's blackening one's heart. And you know, the way to clean that and to purify that is through the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To make the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to seek repentance.
Subhanallah. So yes, we have discussed, you know, how a person may fall into committing sins. And what are the advices of Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi, the profound words of advice. And then at the end, he says, the time is still there, repent. Mm-hmm. When it comes to repentance, it is straightforward, right?
Right.
And it is up to one's discretion to make tawbah to nasuha, to make sincere tawbah.
Right.
Sometimes we make tawbah, we commit the sin, we make tawbah, we commit the sin, we make tawbah, we commit the sin again.
Ji.
And then there was a person who lost all hope. He said, I even make tawbah from making tawbah.
Hmm.
Allahu Akbar. Meaning, we shouldn't get to that point where we start to lose hope. That, you know, this is the time, final time I'm making tawbah in the court of Allah. I'm making a promise to myself. I'm making a promise to Allah. I will never do this.
And you know, so one cannot lose hope in the mercy of Allah.
Yes.
You know, one has to always be hopeful of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if someone really thinks about it, and if someone, you know, is indulged in continue making, doing sins day and night, one should think that, how long am I going to be in this darkness for? How long am I going to be busying myself with this evil? For how long is it continue? I mean, everything comes to an end.
Yes.
Now, when am I going to start doing something good? When am I going to start repenting? When am I going to start changing my life around? These are, you know, questions that we need to ask ourselves in order for us to better ourselves.
Inshallah, definitely. Three pillars of repentance.
Mm-hmm.
Admitting the sin, that yes, you have committed the sin. Admit it. Because part of the solution is to recognize that there is a problem.
Right.
Don't be self-conceited. No, I can't do no wrong. Step one, admit the sin. Step two, the feeling of shame and the feeling of remorse.
Hmm.
That you must be sorry that you did that. And number three, determination of abandoning that sin. If the sin is compensable, it must be compensated for it. For example, it is necessary for the completion of repentance of the abandon of salah to offer missed salah is qada. And they repent in such a way that they repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala plus they offer qada umri.
You know, so it comes with having the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala present in one's heart. It comes, you know, to taqwa, to having this fear of Allah, not to commit sins, and also willpower. Willpower, yes. That I am going to stop, not from today, but from now.
Yes.
From now, I am not going to do this. That kind of willpower is needed. And you know, in this regard, there is a very beautiful story in which there was a person who committed 99 murders, right? He killed 99 people. And what happened was that after he killed 99 people, he started to have this feeling of remorse in him, this feeling of, you know, guilt in him. And what he did was he went to a particular monk and he told the monk that, just before I could come to you, I killed 99 people and I want to change my life. I want to change and mend my ways. Is there a chance of repentance for me? Are the doors of repentance open for me? And this monk, he looks at him and he says, you asking if there's a chance of repentance for you? You killed 99 people and you coming to me and asking me if there's any chance for you to be forgiven. The monk says, absolutely not. There is no chance for you. This person, he ends up killing this monk as well.
Allah.
Now he made it 100. Thereafter, he goes to a pious scholar and he tells the scholar all that has happened. And he says that, is there any chance of, you know, repentance for me? Are the doors of repentance open for me? This pious scholar, he was a wise person. Mm-hmm. And he tells him that, yes, of course, the doors of repentance are open for you. They aren't closed for you. It is opened. This person, you know, he gets so happy to hear this. It brings, you know, peace and comfort to his heart. So he asks this pious scholar, okay, so tell me, what must I do? And the pious scholar, he says that you must leave this land and go to a particular area. In there, you would see a group of men. They are the men of Allah, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Go there, join them, sit in their company, do the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seek repentance from Allah.
Subhanallah.
So this person, he already made his intention. He wants to change and mend his ways. He wants to seek repentance. So he leaves this land to go to that area. As he was going towards that area, suddenly this person, he died. He passed away. At this juncture, two angels come, one of mercy and the other of punishment. And they start to have a dispute, a little argument. Angels of mercy are saying that we are going to take his soul. Angels of punishment are saying that no, we are going to take his soul because he killed 100 people. We are going to take his soul. At that point, another angel came by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered for them to measure the distance from where he was coming to where he was going.
Allah.
If the distance, if he was closer to where he was coming from, then the angels of punishment must take him. And if he was closer to where he was going to, towards his destination, then the angels of mercy must take him. So the angel who came down by the command of Allah, he measured the distance and subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that he was closer to where he was going to. And the angels of mercy then took his soul from them. The angels of mercy, they took him. And thereafter, from this, you know, it's so interesting that we learn this person, he was forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know, Muhasab, in this parable, in this incident, there is so many lessons a person can gain if they want to change their life, if they want to repent, if they want to mend their ways. Willpower, because we can see willpower here. This person had willpower that I want to change. And he had this determination that he wants to change. And he did not, you know, only just say it by words. Rather, he did action as well. He acted upon it. He just didn't give lip service. Rather, he showed the action to it. And subhanAllah, he was forgiven because of having a firm intention in his heart to reform and to seek repentance.
SubhanAllah, this is actually true repentance. And he was so determined, he could have thought to himself, I committed so many sins. Where am I going to get any redemption? Where am I going to get any forgiveness for all of this bad that I have done? But he never lost hope.
He was still hopeful.
Yes, he was hopeful. And he knocked on doors. And then the first person he came to, that person refused him. He actually rejected him. He rejected the possibility of him getting repentance. Allahu Akbar. And this is something we shouldn't be doing.
Yes.
If somebody wants to do good, instead of, you know, facilitating them mm-hmm. and, you know, making a way in for them and let's say making a support structure for him, right. you know, be a support to that person. Yes, you are going through a rough time. Let me not judge you because it could have happened to anyone. Let me help you with this, inshallah. Mm-hmm. So, Dawat Islami is a beautiful support structure
yes.
that provides a way for all those people to come in and make sincere tawbah. There have been thousands of accounts of such mm-hmm. people. Mm-hmm. And they used to be immersed in wrongs and then they made sincere tawbah. And today they are the mubaligs of Dawat Islami, subhanAllah, inviting others to goodness.
Also, Mulasa, what we learn from this is a person's company.
Yes.
You know, a person's company also has a very big impact on a person's life.
Sure.
If someone's company is bad, then just because of that company, a person, you know, would be drowned in sins, would be committing sins because there is no one from amongst them to stop them from doing sins.
Yeah.
You know, and they are the biggest motivation for each other. If someone says something, then they will do it. Why? Because that's their company. But on the other hand, if you have someone who has good company, then in this way, there is a chance of them not committing so many sins because of the company. If someone is doing bad, then the other brother would say that, you know what, brother, this is bad. Don't do this. It's not appropriate. They will give advices, remind one another. And in this way, they will refrain from committing a sin.
SubhanAllah. And plus, Sayyidi, this is the quote of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why do I say this? You know, in the worldly system,
right?
In the justice system, if you have done some wrong, you can, sometimes people can shield themselves mm-hmm. using certain loopholes.
Right.
You maybe if there's no evidence for it to be found. And then there are times when a person is guilty, a criminal who's guilty, and he goes and confesses before the court. In Tawbah, what do? We confess. And okay, you can hide your wrongdoings from the authorities, but hiding your wrongdoings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is impossible. Allahu Akbar. And we still confess. And when we confess, there's a beauty in it. Subhanallah. We are showing our willingness in the court of Allah. Allah, I'm willing to change. Please guide me. Subhanallah. We are seeking the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this case. And we are begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to change our condition. We are actually admitting in the court of Allah, oh Allah, I lost control of myself. Please, you get control of me and guide me, subhanallah. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. And in this way, we get the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This person had committed so many murders. And despite that, he still had hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide him, to protect him, to change his life, to change his heart. Allahu Akbar. It takes courage.
Yes.
It takes courage for one to come out and admit that I have done this wrong.
And on top of that, Mawlana Sahib, he didn't even reach his destination.
Yes.
You know, he died in the middle, you know, just before his destination was still, you know, ahead. And yet he died before he could even reach. That shows, you know, that his intention in seeking repentance played a very major role.
Yes.
That, you know, when one wants to repent, then they should have a, you know, a sincere intention in their heart. It should come from within themselves purely yes. and sincerely.
And say this, sins are something like, you know, if you're doing good, like, for example, if you go to a place where only good is done, such as House of Allah, Masjid, there's so much of peace and tranquility. But if you go to a place where only sins are committed, such as a place of gambling, right? A place where people drink, have parties, you know, perform there. And look at those places. There's so much of restlessness. There's so much of disgrace. All over it, written all over it.
Yeah.
And the nahusa, this disgrace of sins, you will find it attached to the person who's involved in sinning. The noor is gone from the face. There's no barakah. And the same people will come and tell you, Maulana Sahib, there's no barakah in my life. There's so much of fight at home. Well, from the time you open your eyes till the time you close your eyes, you go to bed, you are doing all wrong. Where is there going to be barakah in your life?
Exactly.
How is the positivity going to enter your life and make your family a home? Allahu Akbar. And in this way, they fail to see that. But if the true right advice is given, if they accustom themselves, even one person accustom themselves to the Madani environment of Dawat Islami, then that person goes there with the positive vibe, subhanallah. Yes. And looking at that person, the whole family changes. It has this compound effect,
right?
This domino effect. You know, it takes one small domino, and if it is multiplied, it can even topple over Mount Everest. So the effect of a start, one, you know, spark that is needed, inshallah,
and
that will take care of the rest.
Subhanallah.
So a pious person. It is mentioned in Talbis Iblis that a pious person narrates that one day I saw Shaitan who said to me, there was a time when I would teach people how to do wrong. And now people teach me.
Allahu Akbar.
This is what it has come to. That even Shaitan is running out of tricks. People are teaching Shaitan in some cases. Allah, this is how it's done. This is how you do wrong. Allahu Akbar. Is this what it has come to say, the Allahu Akbar?
No, so one should actually think that if I'm going through any difficulties in my life, or I'm going through this problem, or I'm going through that problem, and you know, when I go at home, then I have family issues there. When I come to work, I have work issues there. Wherever I go, there's always issues, and there's this and there's that. My life is not at peace. I'm not in comfort, and I don't know what to do. And this, you know, one should actually take a self-introspection and ask themselves that, first and foremost, am I obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Am I following the teachings, the practices, and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Am I performing my 5 times daily salah? Am I, you know, reciting the Holy Quran? Am I sending salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? These are the actions that bring about blessings in one life. These are the actions that attracts and draws the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is what we all need. We all want and need the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for this, if someone is indulged in sins, it is never too late. There's always time, and that time is now. That time is not tomorrow or later today or 3 days time or next week. No. That time will never come. Tomorrow won't come. The only time that we have is now to change. If anyone wants to change, that is now. To mend their ways, that is now. Not a minute later even. Not even 5 minutes later. No, it's just from the very moment. It's so important, you know, for a person to repent, because in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the summary of which is that a person who makes sincere repentance, it is as if he has never sinned. You know, repentance is so important. And what we notice today, you know, especially for the youngsters, is that suppose, for example, one is going to the club, or one is going gambling, or one is indulged in drugs, in drinking, etc. One, you know, feels embarrassed, feels shy to join the company who's good. That good company. One feels shy to come towards the masjid. One feels shy to join the ijtima'at in which the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking place. And why this occurs? Why do they feel shy? Is because, you know, at times they feel that I did this, and they know that I'm doing this. And if I go there, then, you know, they're going to say this about me. They're going to judge me, and etc. etc. And so what happens? At times, they end up indulging more into that sin because they see no light. So there has to also be someone out there as a support structure to them, to guide them and to take them towards the light without judging them. This is also important, you know. If you want them to come to the masjid, then they have to be, you know, wholeheartedly welcomed towards the masjid. Otherwise, the whispers of shaitan would be attacking them, saying that you did this, you did that. What face are you going to show? They will be running further and further and further away from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whereas this is a trap of shaitan. No matter what the sins of a person may be, no matter how big, how small, whatever it may be, however big it may be, a person must always run back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and repent in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Subhanallah. Subhanallah. And we need to do that, inshallah, azza wa jalla. And I hope our viewers out there, you adhere to this, whatever was discussed from the Quran and the Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Quranic teachings, the methodology of the pious predecessors. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to make amal. Ameen. There's always something to learn. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us firm on our deen and grant us tawfiq to make tawbah and repent from our sins. Ameen. Bijahi nabi. Ameen. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and